praise him for his love and tender mercy.
We ought to praise him for his power and majesty. Let's praise him for the things he's done, for the victory he's won, when he took my place that day on Calvary.
That way, you don't hear me say. It's good to have everybody here this morning. Good morning to you. Welcome. And visitors, welcome. You're only a visitor here a short while. Then you become part of the family, so watch out. You never know what's going to happen. So anyway, we do appreciate everybody that that faithfully comes. We've had a good holiday time there, Thanksgiving. Christmas is a wonderful season. It's coming upon us. The crew, you see, they change quickly from pumpkins to poinsettias. That's done by the magic of Everett Friedemaker and his crew. It's just like a magical thing. What was a pumpkin is now a poinsettia. So, anyway, we do appreciate all the different. At the effort put into keeping the church and making it look nice like it does. Thank you so much with that. Another thing about Christmas we do here is we like to exchange cards and things, like give them little thank yous, thinking about you, like whatever. So we try to save a little postage money on that. So this year again, if you'd like to bring your church family Christmas cards in, they'll be sorted and then placed in the individual's box. And then don't forget to pick up your Christmas cards so that you can take them home and enjoy them yourself. So that's one thing we do to try to cut down on the Christmas cost, but also still enjoy a lot of the Christmas season. Don't forget December 10th. If you like the sound of our choir, come back because it's a cantata program. We always have a Christmas cantata, beautiful musical. And so invite your friends, family. We always have a good crowd for that. Christmas cantata on December 10th. And then, of course, the 24th will be our Christmas Eve service that we have here finish out the Christmas season. So be a part of that. We look forward to having a wonderful Christmas here, giving thanks to God for all he's done for us, the blessings we have, and the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. and we're thankful for that. She's right behind me. Okay. Mission moment here coming up.
Good morning. I get to talk about Operation Christmas Child this week. I wasn't here last week. I went to church with my sister in Ashland, Ohio, and now they have a choir too, and I enjoy listening to them. Donna, can you remind me or update me on how many Christmas boxes we actually ended up with? 56. We always 53. 53. That's a great number. I appreciate all of you who participated in that for so many years. Operation Christmas Child started in 1992, and that was during the Bosnian War, and Britain decided that it would be a good idea. They came up with the idea, but they realized it was going to be a big project, or at least it had the potential to be a big project. So they asked Samaritan's Purse to come along with them and help get it started. So they prayed about it, and they decided to do that. And so 30 plus years ago is when it actually started. So a lot of shoeboxes have gone out to children around the world, some who've never received any kind of toys like that. It was 1 or 2 years after they started, England decided it was too big of a project. So they asked Samaritan's Purse if they would continue on, and they prayed about it and realized that this was a great way to introduce children to Christ. And now a number of those same children who were the first ones who got the shoeboxes actually work for Samaritan's Purse and are advocates for the Lord. So many blessings have come about since then, and we so appreciate all of you who participate in that. The next project that will be starting will be the blessing bags. We started the blessing bags here at Life in Christ 2 years ago. So they're just gallon bags that the church provides, and you fill them up with things like gloves, socks, those little heaters for hands and feet, food items that are easy to eat. We'll have a list of everything that might be helpful to put in. You just bring the things in, and then we package them up and take them to Philippians 2, and they actually take them to the homeless. So if that's something that you want to do, we'll have a box or a tub out in the foyer next week, and we'll probably try to distribute those sometime around Christmas or the first of the year. And that's all I have this time.
Let's stand and sing this morning, shall we?
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Amen.
Together, shall we? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Like a fire, awake.
invite you to this place, even though you're already here. Where two or three are gathered together, Lord, you're in the midst of us. We just praise you for that. We're here to lift you up and hear the preaching from the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Do you have a good week this week? For some of you, I guess. Yeah, about that. About football. Hey, we are in your midst. There are Michigan fans in here. But I did think it was terrible to interview the coach and Kyle McCord after that game and ask him those questions, so I felt bad for him. I'm not sure that process is a good idea when they're just kids playing a game. Yes? That's why I didn't wear any Michigan thing today. The game was done. It's done. So it's just a game, winners and losers. But everybody is a winner, actually, if you think about that. They all played the best they could play. They did the best they could do. For 8 years, it was you. For 3 years, it's my team, so that's good. You know. So, but we're talking about thankfulness this morning. And I'm thankful that there weren't too many serious injuries. There's one, Zach Zinter, I think, did something bad to his knee, and there was a couple of them, but it wasn't a game where people were really hurt bad, no, traumatic brain injuries, nothing like that, so we can be glad for that. But that's you think of football, and it's a rough sport. You can have helmets and pads all you want, but still people are getting hurt, so we need to move to flag football. I think that'd be a better plan. And soccer, okay? So we'll do flag football and soccer from now on Thanksgiving Day. So we got news this morning, Donna Wharton's in the hospital. Ray told me she has COVID. Is that Madison? She's in Madison? In London. I think Randy and Tina might have COVID. They're sick as well, so be praying for them. And I know that the family of Leslie is going back home today, but they got to spend Thanksgiving with her neighbors. They invited them over, so that was kind of a good thing for them. But we're thankful our family got to come over, visit with us, except for one. Their son was sick, so he couldn't come. They didn't come, but everybody else was there, so we had a good time at Thanksgiving. And we think of Thanksgiving just being, thankful for the food and the family and that kind of stuff, but it's more than that. If you listen to Alistair Begg, which I like him, he talks about, do we have a thankful heart? Are we thankful for other things besides food and family? Are we grateful people? And we'll talk about that this morning. But anybody want to share any praise?
Extended Thanksgiving like for 3 days, but one of the persons was from Slovakia even, but anyway, and we had a great time of praise. We also have a worship leader who plays guitar and leads down in Kentucky, and he led in the goodness of God and other great ones. But anyway, the most precious blessing of this season was my 85-year-old brother. He's in a nursing home, and we've been praying for him for years. And we called on the day after Thanksgiving. He said, pray for me. And so we prayed for him. And I got to thinking the next day, what does he really want us to pray for? So I called again. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, call him again. Even though I just called the day before. And I said, Joe, is there something specifically you want us to pray for? And he said, yes, I'm going to know that I'm right with the Lord before I pass on. And so we prayed with him right then and there. And, hallelujah. That's enough.
That's something to be thankful for, isn't it?
I just heard some news this morning, and I know this gentleman doesn't like to be called out, but Kirk Hill, a lot of you don't know Kirk. He just told me he was in a serious accident, and his car was totaled, but there he is walking today. So we praise God that they brought Kirk back.
Anybody else?
I would like to praise our Father for allowing me to be here in his house. And I want to thank him for putting his hands.
Taylors are heading south pretty soon, aren't you guys? Jim and Isabel, you're going south pretty soon, right? Wednesday is when you fly or drive. You're driving, right? Anybody else? Praise or prayer request?
I'd like the church to keep praying for Steve. He's been struggling quite a bit with this nausea, and it's not gallbladder, so I'm not sure just what, but I pray that the Lord will give wisdom, whatever it could be, if it's depression, or because I know that can be linked to also to stomach issues. So just pray, you know, because he struggles, so.
I've sent out an email to Verna, and I will send one out closer to the date. But my grandson, the reason why he hasn't been here is because he is getting ready to have a serious back surgery, and they can't have him get sick around, you know, being around certain people that might be sick. So they're just limiting him to school. But we're asking for prayer for a successful surgery and a perfect recovery.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, his name's Caleb. Sorry, I don't know if I said that.
I've been missing a few Sundays here. I've been helping with events at our club. Last weekend, our youth deer hunters took 4 deer. There were 10 kids. One of the kids passed on a few because it was a girl. She's like, they're not big enough for me. So hunting in Ohio is a big industry. It fills the state's golfers billions and billions of dollars. But this is also, tomorrow starts the beginning of deer gun. So let us pray that these hunters will be safe.
Hey, Ray, I'm going to say something. I just want to thank God because it's a long story. But anyway, I ended in the hospital this Thanksgiving Day, and everything escalated from the urgent care to the Methodist, the Riverside Hospital. And in a matter of hours, they were talking about I need to have brain surgery because I have an aneurysm. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe. 2 doctors told me that I have a congenital, something in my veins. And so they explaining all the procedures of what are they gonna do, and I wasn't allowed to eat or drink or anything. And I was like, what is going on? I was fine 3 hours ago. And hours pass, and they keep telling me the same thing about I need to be ready for surgery. And I was like, my kids are at home, you know? Well, at 11:30 on Thanksgiving Day, the neurosurgeon came in and said, well, you have something in there, but I'm not to worry. And your aneurysm is very small, so it's more dangerous to do anything about it at this point. Just keep an eye on it. And, of course, I have follow-ups, but that was scary. But I just can't believe they had the radiologist, 2 doctors saying there is something in there, we had to go for surgery, we had to keep an eye on it, and then it's gone. Well, I'm still there, but not as bad as they thought it was. So, thank you, God. And well, on top of that, my children now were told that I don't have to have any stress, so they are perfect angels, and my husband too, so that is a plus.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for the Thanksgiving Day we celebrated. Pray that that's not the only day that we're thankful. We get these requests for Steve and Noemi and all the different ones, Lord, that are out there, and Donna and Randy and Tina, and Lord, just all the different ones that have different issues. Some were mentioned and some weren't mentioned, but we pray you be with them this morning and be with our message this morning, be with the special music. Lord, help us to leave this place different than when we came in, that your spirit may touch us and make us more like you. Lord, help us to feed on your word and hunger for it. And be with those around the world who may be having hard and difficult times. You think of the wars that are happening and people that are being persecuted and all those things. Just all the terrible things that are happening. Pray for protection, for guidance for those people. For deliverance, thank you for this Noemi's diagnosis not being as bad as they thought, and that you had your hand in that. And for Kirk's protection in that accident, and he's here today with us. And just for how you watch over us, look over us, protect us, keep us safe. Encourage us, guide us, direct us, discipline us, and help us to carry on. And we just thank you in your name. Amen.
Appreciate Pam and Carol both accompanying me in this, but I wanted to mention something in this. This is a powerful song. It's a song of prayer to our Lord. The fountain that He gives to us, the water, living water that He gives to us. Wow, it's powerful. It will never thirst again. And I want to praise Him this morning for this song. It's a song of prayer. It says, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." Okay. Come, thou fount of every blessing, turn my heart to sing thy praise, since of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some and holiest song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon in, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy goodness safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the throne of God. He who rescued me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, the grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness as a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
Thanks, Steve. Well, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, a day we gather with family and friends, share a meal, a visit, and hopefully thank the Lord for what we have, right? Do you naturally have a thankful heart? Are you naturally thankful? as I look around and see if anybody's like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A few people are. But I think most of us have to learn to be thankful, don't we? It's not something that just comes natural. You only become thankful when you habitually practice thankfulness in your life. But one of the characteristics of the last day is a lack of thankfulness, according to 2 Timothy 3, said wicked people will be ungrateful. Do you see a lot of ungratefulness happening? People that aren't happy, that aren't happy about anything, they're even kind of rude sometimes. Because they feel like they're entitled. We owe them something. Or we feel it ourselves. I deserve that. I should have got that. I should have done this or I should have done that. So we become ungrateful and unthankful. And especially when people become rude. I saw it the other day. We were in Aldi's. And we were in this line. There was a guy in front of me, a lady in front of him with a cart. And the lady's like, this is open over here. So the lady with the cart rushed over. The guy was just walking. She shoved her cart in front of the guy. And he just looked at her like, because she had like four items. And I'm like, why was that necessary? You know, why do we think we need to be entitled to those things? But anyway, that's what she did. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, it talks about the people of Israel. And it says the rabble. And I thought, what in the world is rabble? It's an unruly mob or common people that were with them. So there were people with them that weren't necessarily part of that group. It says they began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if we only had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and also cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Think about that. They're out in the middle of nowhere, and God is providing for them, but they want something else. Do you ever have that happen? You'll have a meal and have something, and somebody will say, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to eat that. We, like, don't eat it. That's what I would say, but anyway, bring your own. So we have gatherings. If somebody says, I have this and I have that, we're like, okay, well, you bring that if you have to have that, but this is what we're going to have. You know, when you're a kid, your parents would always say, eat everything on your plate. My parents didn't say that. They said, eat until you're full. And then when you were done, you were done. But you weren't going to have snacks and stuff later, but you only ate until you were full. And if you said, I don't like that, mom would say, well, then you don't have to eat it. But that's what we're having. And that's kind of what the Israelites were saying. Now, we want this, anything but manna. But it didn't matter to the Israelites that the Lord had brought them out of slavery. It didn't matter that he parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross over on dry land. It didn't matter that the Lord struck down, thanks, the entire Pharaoh's army that was chasing them. It didn't matter to them that the Lord was protecting them from alien nations around them. It didn't matter that they were slaves in Egypt, but now they were free. It didn't matter the Lord provided food from heaven for them in the wilderness. All that mattered to them was the fact that they didn't get to eat fish and meat regularly as they were doing before. They felt, well, God, you brought us here, then you should give us what we want. Pretty bold, isn't it? Pretty arrogant. You brought us here. We need to have meat, fish, everything we had in Egypt. You need to, not thanking God for all the things he had done, but grumbling because they didn't get what they preferred. The manna was going to sustain them, right? It was going to help them live and go on. And, you know, it says their clothes and things never wore out. Imagine if that happened today. You buy one set of clothes and you wear it for the rest of your life, right? Or three or four pairs, whatever. Instead of you buy these socks now at the store and in 3 weeks they're worn out. You throw them away and you're like, what is going on? Their clothes lasted forever. They weren't thankful for any of that kind of stuff. When we don't get what we think we deserve, we tend to grumble and complain without considering the fact that maybe God has a better plan in mind. Maybe he's got a better plan than what we think is the plan. Because as people, you know, we think we're pretty intelligent. We can figure all these things out. We can do all these things, you know, with genetics and everything else. But God has a plan. He knows how everything works. That's what the Israelites thought. It took 40 years of wandering around as they grumbled and complained and sinned before God brought them to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Some people, it takes a long time before the Lord gets through, isn't it? They have to see this over and over and over and over again before they finally realize, well, maybe God is there. Maybe he is real. Maybe he is protecting me. Maybe he does answer prayers and does protect me. 1 Chronicles 16 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Not many can say that, Your love endures forever. Your love endures as long as you're happy, as long as you're doing what I want. And if you don't do that, then we're going to split up. We're going to break up because your love doesn't really endure forever. Then is it really love then? Most of it's lust, right? You get married, you see somebody, oh, I'm just going to get married. And then it doesn't work because it wasn't love in the first place. You got married for the wrong reason, or it's for money or for whatever else. But I was wondering, what did the first Thanksgiving look like? We talk about that. A Tennessee professor named Troy Smith shares the first Thanksgiving. He says, traditional roasted turkey, dressing, mashed potatoes, candied yams, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie are almost on every modern Thanksgiving menu in some form or variation. But the menu's evolved over time and continues to evolve today. President Lincoln declared Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1863. And since the colonists had hunted wild turkeys for years, it became the staple Thanksgiving meal or meat. In 1864, Ulysses S. Grant declared that cranberry sauce was to be served to the Union troops for their Thanksgiving festival. That's a great idea. I love cranberry sauce. I don't know how they thought of it, but great idea. While pumpkin pie had been on the menu for well over 100 years, it was not until 1929 when the Libby Company started providing pumpkin in cans to make it easier for people to make pumpkin pies. Then it became a staple Thanksgiving meal, part of it. Smith, who teaches a course in Native American Studies, said at first Thanksgiving dinner in Tennessee would be the same, much the same as the original one in Massachusetts. The menu would be similar to that of the Wampanoags in New England, which is an Indian group. They'd have deer, wild fowl, including turkeys, which were common, and fish like cod, which was mostly like the Native Americans in Appalachia had. While the Wampanoags would have cod, bass, and flint. I don't know what flint is. I'm guessing it's some kind of fish. Kirk, is it a fish? Okay, just confirming, because you're the fish expert. They would have sunfish, gar, catfish, crappie, bass, and bream. And sometimes the Cherokees grew peanuts and sweet potatoes, according to Smith, and nuts and berries were plentiful. Most of the tribes in the region relied heavily on the three sisters, corn, beans, and squash. So they had a lot of that for their Thanksgiving. They wrap it in tortilla bread as well as make some kind of porridge out of it. Meat would have been provided by all the animals in the mountains, including turtles, rabbits, squirrels, and bear. You ever think about that? Your Thanksgiving dinner? Here, we're having turtle today for Thanksgiving. How about some bear? Well, most of the ones now are pretty common to our tradition, but everything good in our lives comes from God, according to James 1. We grow closer to God and we understand that truth and build our lives around it, that everything good is from Him. You ever have something happening and you say, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be going through this. Maybe God is saying, well, it's because you're strong enough to get through this. And when you do, you're going to help somebody else. And you're there for somebody else to lean on. Regularly practicing giving thanks, making a habit of it, expressing gratitude, takes about 2 months of doing something to make it a habit. 2 months to make it a habit. I was thinking about that the other day when I'm driving down the road. I should say, wow, that person might have made a mistake. Instead of like, you stupid person, why did you run that red light? And maybe they weren't paying attention. My wife would say stuff like that. Maybe they weren't paying attention. Maybe they had to get somewhere really quickly. Well, she thinks of all the good things, and I think of all the other things, you know, that like. I'm still learning, you know, she's still teaching me things that I need to know. Because that's the attitude we should have. Not always look at the negative, look at the positive. Try to be thankful for things that are happening. Well, this happened. Well, at least it wasn't this that happened. You know, I got this. Well, at least I didn't get that. Those kind of things. That makes our lives a lot more happy when we think about those things. Thankfulness rather than criticism should be our default position, shouldn't it? We should be thinking and thanking for things and not just like, oh, that person's this person's that, or whatever. Why did they say that to me? Did they mean this? Did they mean that? Sometimes our minds go off. When somebody says a word and we're like, well, their tone. I could tell their tone was something different. They really meant something else, didn't they? And you're like, I didn't hear that. They just said that. So our mind can make us go to a lot of places. When we see something good in life, we need to maybe point it out, right? We complain occasionally, but instead of finding things to be thankful for, we need to rewire our brain to look at the good things, not the bad things. Now, I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, maybe less, I could have cared less if they interviewed Kyle McCord and he was upset and sad and all that kind of stuff. I would be like, yeah, Michigan won. You guys deserve that. But I see things a little different now. He's a human being. He's a person. He's a college kid. He played the best he could. He got hit when he was making the throw. He told him that. And why do they keep asking the same questions to the kid? Why don't they just leave him alone? You know, we sometimes tend to put people there and keep asking these things and asking them questions. And I was saying, that's sad. Doesn't matter who it is. Why do we do those kinds of things? When somebody does something wrong or something happens, why do we keep going over and over and over again? Why can't we just let it go? Right? And say, this is the end. This is what happened. That's the end. Let it go. When our family or friends do something wrong, why can't we just say, well, it's forgiven. Let's just leave it. And let them be forgiven. You know, you think about all these politics. When things happen, they, you know, a few years ago, they took these pictures. The guy that did blackface, right? From England, I can't remember what his name is. Trudeau from Canada. I'm thinking that was high school and college. This has been 30, 40, 50 years ago. Can't you just let it go? Can't he get away from his past? Can you imagine if God didn't let us get away from our past? When we're forgiven of sins and he just says, your sins are forgiven as far as east is from the west. And if he kept saying, remember when you did that? Remember when you did that? What kind of life would we have? We need to say, thank God that he's forgiven me, and turn off our negative thoughts and our possibility of doing it to somebody else. When I taught school, a kid got in trouble. He had his punishment, whatever it was going to be. And when the punishment was done, it was done. When he came back to the classroom, it was like he never did anything. We just carried on as if nothing happened because he already did his punishment and it was finished. But then you have those that keep on and on and on. Oh, you're one of those kids, aren't you? Oh, you're from that family. Well, so you're from the family doesn't mean you're the same as everybody else, right? But we do that to kids sometimes. Expressing gratitude and thankfulness regardless of the situation is what we should be doing. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances because God wills it. Because we never see the whole picture. We only see a small portion. We don't see what's going to happen later on. We don't see what's going to be something in the future. And I keep saying school because I think of school a lot of times. Some of these kids, and you're like, that kid's going to be in jail. But you never know, do you? You never know. That kid that was so annoying and so disruptive and whatever, may someday something's just going to click, and who knows who they're going to be or what they're going to do, right? Maybe he or she has nobody that encourages them. Maybe the family's always cutting them down the whole time, and that's how they get attention. Maybe we can say to them, you know, like, remember Ernie used to say, you're important. You know, I stand up and say that, you're important. Everybody is important. And God can redeem us through any situation. But on our own, we focus on the current situation instead of thinking maybe God has something better, something different out there for me. A.W. Tozer says, perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. So God has blessings out there that we haven't enjoyed or realized yet. That takes faith for us to say something better's coming. If you've been to any of the funeral services I've ever done on a graveside, sometimes I talk about the fork. Where a lady was passing away and she asked the pastor to put a fork in her hand in the casket. And she said, the reason was because my grandmother always told me, at the end of the meal, keep your fork. Because something better is yet to come. She said, I want people to ask you, why does she have a fork in her hand? Because something better is yet to come. They're in paradise. They're in a beautiful, wonderful place celebrating. And that's what's coming. And that's the message that she wanted us to have, and that's what God wants us to know, that we can praise him when all is well, but we also have to praise him when things are not going too well. Because we know he's in charge, we know he's in control, and he guides us. And he talks about taking us to green pastures and leading us beside still waters. But we need to see how bad experiences can produce good outcomes. Anybody ever had a bad experience and now you think back to it and think, that was probably a good thing that that happened. Or that was good that I made it through. Or I was able to help somebody else because that happened to me. Because it gives us strength and helps us in the future. But we see past trials through eternity's perspective. We can be more thankful for the struggle. This is just a short time. Would you want to live forever here? Can you imagine what it's going to be like in the next 50 years? Think back what 50 years ago was. We thought those things were bad, you know. Because people were wearing two-piece bathing suits with shorts and a top. And we thought, oh, it's horrible. Now you're glad they have one on. But it's gone so far away. We used to remember at 11 o'clock, you know, that other shows would come on that may have a cuss word in it. Now they're on all the time. Internet, you know, your phones, and you think, what are these kids and people being exposed to? No wonder society is falling away so quickly. Because media is pushing all these ideas and all these things, and this is good, accept that, and everybody can do whatever they want and be who they want, and I'm not going to say it. I had an idea, but I'm not going to say it. But make gratitude part of your interactions with people in your relationships so they can see that you're different. And that's what I'm working on, being thankful for all things. Thanks for this, thanks for that, thanks for this. Because I wasn't really brought up that way. We really didn't say a lot of things in the family. But Rick Warren said, to appreciate means to raise in value. That's not only true of things, it's true of people. When you appreciate somebody, you literally raise their value. We got to appreciate people because it increases their self-worth. How do you feel when somebody says, I appreciate you? I'm glad you did that. Thanks for being here, or whatever it may be. And that person feels better. How many times does that happen? Not very many. We always talk about the news, right? They hardly ever say anything good. Maybe a couple little things here and there about Thanksgiving and people giving away food and those kind of things, or Christmas giving away boxes and presents and whatever. But otherwise, most of our news is not encouraging. It's not about how good this kid did in school, or it's not about, you know, what this person did to help society or whatever. It's always a negative thing. And I don't even really watch the news hardly. If I want to find out something, I just look it up. And then you got to find out if it's actually true, because you can't tell, right? But make it a regular practice to say thank you to people in your life, because gratitude is important, especially for those that are closest to us. People have been through a lot of tough situations, especially lately, and persevered. We need to let them know we appreciate them, right? That they're important, like Ernie would say. Thanksgiving enables us to see past our experiences and embrace how God is moving. Henry Blackaby, I think it was, did a book called Experiencing God. If you've been through that study, it's a study and you got to take notes and whatever. But he says, look around you, see where God is moving, and then go to there or participate in or look for it. See what God's doing. We can get so busy looking at so many things, we forget what's happening. I did that one time. Oh, twice, actually. One time we're at the zoo. Looking at the gorillas, and I had the kids. So we go to the next spot, we're looking at the next window, and was it Josiah? My wife's like, where's Josiah? I'm like, I thought he was with you. She goes, no, I left him with you. Anyway, they called us, missing child, so we found him. Another time, we were at, was it Cedar Point? Cedar Point, and we were in the Berenstain Bear thing. My friend and I were talking, you know, and doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, Isaac disappeared. All this stuff happens to me all the time, but he disappeared. Well, there was a third time, too, because he tells me that. We were at church, and it was getting dark out, and we drove separately, so I had the kids in my car. And I'm driving home, and I think it was Caitlin's like, Dad, where's Isaac? And I'm like, Mom's got him. Mom's got him. So then, I don't know if he, did somebody call you? Somebody brought him into her. He was on the swing, and I didn't know he was out there. And he sees me, he goes, Dad, you leaved me. So, I don't know how I got into that, but it was came to my mind. But if you dig the scriptures more deeply, you'll find situations of being thankful. Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, he is good, his love endures forever. Two reasons to be thankful: God's constant goodness and his steadfast love. He's always good, he always loves us no matter what we do. Psalm 30, give praise to the Lord for his deliverance. As David writes, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. You turned my wailing to dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I give you thanks forever. Do we just thank God through the day? Thanks God that you did this. Thanks God for the food. Thanks God that I'm not sick today. Thanks God that whatever it may be, that I got to the store and back and I didn't get hit or whatever it may be. Do we just thank him for everyday things or only for the big things? Might be a new way to do it. Just thank him for things as you're going through the day. Thanks that I got up this morning. Thanks that I have a house to stay in. Psalm 28, in David's distress, he gives God a cry for mercy and protection. And he says, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord's my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I'll give him thanks to him in song. So there you go, Dave. Singing can be a praise and a joy and a thankfulness to God when we sing. That can lift our spirits up. That can help us to get out of a bad mood, right? That can also bring others, and I like when they do those pop-up, what are they called, mob thing sings, what are they called? When they pop up and just sing somewhere? Alex, what's it called? Flash mob? Yeah, that's a good kind of mob to have. Well, they just pop up somewhere and start singing. They did it to a military guy in a restaurant that I saw on Facebook. He was just eating his food he had. He was going to die from cancer, and everybody found out. So they stood up and sang to the guy and saluted him and honored him, and he just wept because he realized people really appreciated him. Lisa DiPaolo shares some examples of people in the Bible who were thankful. This is about Daniel. He was born into a noble life, but became enslaved as a teen. And he was exiled from his homeland and cut off from family and trained to assimilate in the Babylonian culture. Yet he followed God's whole heart, continually distinguished himself during the rise and fall of two kingdoms. The Persian king wanted to promote Daniel as second highest in the kingdom. The officials conspired against him to take him down. With his life at risk, Daniel didn't knuckle down. He still prayed, as he did three times a day. And then we know what, he was thrown into the lion's den. He was protected. And what happened to those who persecuted him? It says they and their families were thrown in. And they were eaten right away. So you know only God kept their lion's mouth shut. But Daniel praised God even in the midst of being in a lion's den. You ever think about that? How you would feel actually if you were thrown into a lion's den? Would you be praising God and probably singing and whatever as the lions are all around you? You could do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because God enabled him to do that. He had a faith that started before then. Sometimes we don't have our faith until we get in a bad situation and think, well, I'll pray now. We should be praying before as well. Remember about Jonah? Didn't want to go to Nineveh, right? The boat was going to be capsized, and he said, throw me over, right? He didn't jump in. You notice he didn't jump in? He said, throw me over. He thinks, I can't jump in, so he told them to throw him over. The fish swallows him. We don't know if it was a whale or a fish, whatever. It was a big fish, big enough for him to be inside of. And he prayed inside of the fish, and the fish put him up on the shore, and he did what God wanted him to do, was preach to the Ninevites, because he didn't want them to be saved anyway. But God did. So he did what God told him to do. You know, Jesus gave thanks before he fed the 5,000. It says, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves before they multiplied. And then we know that Christ gave thanks on the cross before going to the cross. When he had the Last Supper with the disciples, he gave thanks and passed everything out to them. He gave thanks for the bread and the juice and talked about his body being broken, his blood being spilled. And it wasn't an obligatory blessing that he offered. But he wanted to give thanks to his Father for who he was, for what was going to happen, for his deliverance that was going to happen. But we should be thankful to God because he's worthy of our thanksgiving. And he gives us every perfect gift. Even when we aren't thankful, he is. Even when we don't feel loving and caring, he does. Even when we don't act the way we should, he still loves us. Sometimes he gently corrects us, right? Sometimes he smacks you on the side of the head and says, get with the act. Ever have your parents do that? Don't tell me because I don't want to have to report you. I know I got that a few times. We talked about the board of correction on the seat of understanding. Didn't hurt me. It actually helped me to kind of wake up a little bit. But discipline is not bad for kids. However you choose to do that, whatever God tells you to do, whether it's time out or whatever, but we need to be disciplined in our life. Said, this is not right. This is what you need to be doing. Respect people, love people, care for people. Thankfulness is actually healthy and beneficial to us. Reminds us there's a bigger picture that we belong to God, that we've been blessed with every blessing, with abundance in our life, and we should be thankful. So Thanksgiving shouldn't be observed only one day a year, but every day can be a day of Thanksgiving. We thank God for what we have, who we are. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us, no matter what the situation, Lord. Thanks for dying on the cross, that you enable us to be saved and forgiven. And Lord, if people don't know you today, may they seek you and know that you're real. May they find salvation in you as we find our peace and our rest in knowing that you're our Lord and our God and that heaven awaits those who love and serve him in your name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
This morning, the biggest point of Thanksgiving is that you sent your Son to die on the cross and pay for our sins. It's our desire this morning that there's be no one here that doesn't know you, that they'll come to know you yet today. Lord, you're a great God. You're going to do great things. Go forward this week as we carry out your word in Jesus' name.